The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 30th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Minority-owned businesses all across the South are benefiting from a program designed to help them get back on their feet post-pandemic.
The Southern Opportunity and Resilience Fund is assisting businesses and nonprofits rebuild. Shandrin Gordon owns Houston's GF and Hippie, a small business that coordinates housing for traveling nurses. When the need for housing exploded at the start of the pandemic, Gordon was able to furnish and lease housing to traveling nurses with a low-interest resilience fund loan after being denied credit from traditional sources.
And they were able to really look inside our organization and say, you do deserve this, you do need this, this will help you, and we want to see your business thrive.
Gordon says GFN Hippie also used the loan to cover payroll and purchase laptops. I'm Roz Brown.
Supported small businesses have included restaurants, early childhood centers, health service providers, local produce farms, construction contractors, and retail stores. President Joe Biden urged Americans Monday not to panic about the new COVID-19 variant and said the U.S. was making contingency plans with pharmaceutical companies if new vaccines are needed. That from Reuters. Biden forecast that the country would not have to go back to lockdowns. He urged people to get vaccinated, get boosters, and wear masks. By the way, if you are confused as I am as to how to pronounce the new variant, USA Today notes the World Health Organization renames COVID-19 variants with a Greek letter. They add that letter can be pronounced as both Omicron and Omicron. That's according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It sounds like we'll be at this for a while. Eye exams can help determine your risk of dying from COVID, that's according to experts, because optometrists are often the first medical professionals to notice symptoms.
A 2020 study in the Journal of Diabetes Science and Technology found that people with diabetes are 4 times more likely to succumb to COVID than non-diabetics. Dr. Scott Edmonds is an optometrist and chief eye care officer at United Healthcare. He says getting treatment for diabetes will improve the odds against COVID.
So a well-controlled diabetic will fare better in the face of COVID infection than someone who's an uncontrolled diabetic. And often that difference between controlled and uncontrolled is seen in the eye exam as opposed to other tests.
Optometrists will suspect diabetes if a person is obese or has a family history of diabetes, and if a younger person's prescription changes suddenly, if the patient starts to develop cataracts before age 60, or if small hemorrhages are visible under a microscope. This is Suzanne Potter reporting.
The so-called long-haul COVID can cause neurological changes that results in double vision, blur, and eye strain. This is PNS. Now we head to the state of Maine, where advocates for access to mental health services are holding a behavioral health summit today.
They're hoping to raise awareness about the existing challenges in Maine's behavioral health system, from staffing shortages to funding gaps, as a historic amount of money is set to be infused into community mental health and substance use services. Event coordinator John Hennessy with the Behavioral Health Community Collaborative says it's the right time to discuss how best to use the funding to address the needs of Mainers.
Given 20 months of dealing with COVID and even pre-COVID, the system was precarious in terms of how it was funded and the sustainability of that funding. So we're just trying to bring everyday voices to the public and talk about the issues.
Maine recently upped the reimbursement rates for providers of mental health and substance use services, and funding is on the way from COVID relief bills and the American Rescue Plan. But some providers still are shut down because they haven't been able to retain the staff to even bill under the new rates. I'm Lee Bolke reporting.
Public lands groups are asking Congress now to support the proposed Western Riverside County Wildlife Refuge, a 500,000-acre swath in Southern California. Hispanic Access Foundation and Defenders of Wildlife are asking people to sign a letter to lawmakers supporting House Resolution 972, which would create the refuge. Marielle Combs is with Defenders.
It's important, especially in this urban environment. It would connect the Cleveland National Forest and the San Bernardino National Forest.
That wildlife refuge status would ensure the area is safe from suburban sprawl. It is home to about 146 species. Finally, our Emily Scott lets us know more than a decade of restoration efforts in a section of North Arkansas's Ozark National Forest have led to 40 new species of wildlife being recorded in the area.
Conservation advocates say Recovering America's Wildlife Act would support the restoration of Bearcat Hollow in the Ozarks. Since 2009, volunteers and environmentalists have increased the number of wildlife and meadow openings at Bearcat Hollow, which saw decades of fire suppression and invasive species. Wayne Shoemake of the Bearcat Hollow Restoration Project says federal funding would allow for more public use of the land.
It has been tremendous beyond what we had really anticipated it would be. And so anything we can get Congress to help us support this conservation effort that we're trying to do will benefit the wildlife, will benefit the land, will benefit nature.
The Recovering America's Wildlife Act is expected to receive a hearing in the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works on December 8th. The bill is co-sponsored by two Arkansas lawmakers.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on interesting radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.